Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. I've been interviewing doctors, best-selling authors, and celebrities since 1995. I'm showing my age here, and out of these thousands of amazing guests, I decided to invite a handful of my all-time favorites back on the show. And starting off this best-of series is none other than world-renowned cardiologist Dr. Joel Kahn. Heart disease is the number one killer, and today he's going to be breaking through all the misinformation, and he's going to give us the nitty-gritty, which he's so great at doing. And he'll be sharing the major causes of heart disease. Is genetics to blame? We'll find out. And maybe the answer to a healthy ticker can be determined by what you put on the end of your fork. What tests should everybody have to determine the health of their heart? And don't go anywhere because Dr. Kahn is in the house to answer all these questions and more. And it all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is known as America's Healthy Heart Doc. He's a leading cardiologist and clinical professor of medicine whose large list of media appearances include Dr. Phil, The Doctors, Dr. Oz, Larry King Now, and The Joe Rogan Experience. He received the Health Hero Award from Detroit Crane's Business and leads the annual online summit Reversing Heart Disease Naturally. With distinguished triple board certifications in internal medicine, cardiovascular medicine, and interventional cardiology, he's also a pioneering metabolic cardiology certified physician and founder of the Kahn Center for Cardiac Longevity. He's an acclaimed author of 6 books, including Your Whole Heart Solution, Dead Execs Don't Get Bonuses, and The Plant-Based Solution. Welcome back to the show, my friend, Dr. Joel Kahn.
Thank you so much. We got a lot to talk about, and I'm honored to be coming back.
Yeah, a lot to cover. You know, I love your common sense, common science approach. It's always a breath of fresh air. Let's dive right into the heart-to-heart discussion. First, could you begin by discussing the most prevalent misconception about heart health? Specifically, share with us, what are the actions or omissions that individuals mistakenly believe are beneficial for the ticker, yet in reality, they're not heart healthy at all?
Well, the biggest misconception that can actually be fatal is they walk out of their doctor's visit for an annual physical and have the belief I've been checked out and I'm in good shape. And I mean, there's a lot of good internal medicine and family doctors doing annual physicals, but for some reason, we check for colon cancer, breast cancer, cervical cancer, and a few others. We don't check people for heart disease. We don't have built in the system. Just like at age 45, you're going to get a colonoscopy, Joe or Jane. I'm going to send you for a very simple, inexpensive, safe heart screening test. And we're going to find out at a young age if you're walking around with silent blocked arteries. Because we know for years before a heart attack, a bypass, or a stent, there are blocked arteries. They just don't create a problem and you can't see them. So that is the biggest problem, the misconception that I'm okay and I can go shovel snow without any concern and I can have that cheeseburger and that malt and not really worry about it and all the rest. And we are literally about $175 test away from identifying in everybody if they're walking around with this silent killer. But our American medical system has not inserted it in as a routine. So you got to be a little more proactive, aggressive, and just get that done. So it begs the question, what's that called? That's called a coronary artery calcium CT scan. Some people call it a heart artery calcium CT scan. No IV, no injection, takes 5 seconds. You pay for it, $75 to $100, and maybe do it every 5 years. You want to be a zero. If you're a zero, then you've really had a good annual physical. And if you come back like all the patients in my clinic, 100, 300, 800, 1800, these are measurements of how much silent plaque. You need to work with somebody and rethink the whole package, figure out why you've got heart disease.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I've had a couple patients take that coronary calcium scan and it came back with really high score, means I guess severe plaque, and they were told nothing that can be done. Too bad, but that's conventional cardiologist opinion. What do you say? Is there any hope? Are they walking, ticker time bomb?
Yeah. You know, most people are not a walking ticker time bomb, but they got the disease. So, I'm a standard trained cardiologist, but I'm also a functional medicine cardiologist. We always start with the question, why? And you know that in your practice, it's a million questions. Do you go to the dentist? What's breakfast, lunch, and dinner? How's your sleep? How's your stress? your exercise program. Those are just some of the basics. And then we move on to advanced blood work. Did you inherit anything from your wonderful parents that put you at risk? And that might be blood work beyond the routine. I'll give a shout out. One out of every four people listening to your very popular show inherited a cholesterol that never shows up on the standard panel that the doctors do. That cholesterol is called lipoprotein A. It's a very awkward name, but that's the name, lipoprotein A. One out of every four person from the time of birth, their arteries are being coated with this extra cholesterol. You'd rather not get that from your parents. So just ask your doctor, can I have a blood test? You know, there is a billing code. It can be covered by insurance and it's widely available. Now, right now there's no drugs, but the pharmaceutical companies are working on highly effective drugs for certain people that inherit lipoprotein A, like the drugs Lipitor and Crestor don't do anything for it. So we do actually need new pharmaceutical agents. So we ask why, all the questions, we do the labs. We try and educate people to eat fruit. This is a radical thought. Fruits and vegetables, whole grains, peas, beans, and lentils, legumes. Maybe you eat a lot of them. Maybe you eat only those. That's what I fuel my body on for decades and decades as a many, many decades long vegan. And I'm very healthy. But anyways, you eat healthy, you get your fitness, you get your sleep, you quit your smoking, you discuss your lab results with your doctor. It's hard to get the calcium score to go down, but there's other kinds of plaque junk in the arteries, and we can stop the other plaque from forming. So yes, there's so much to do. Just garlic. University California, Los Angeles, UCLA Medical Center has studied a little tablet of aged garlic or a placebo. Turns out it shrinks plaque in your heart arteries to take an aged garlic tablet. And that science is actually very good science, and it's multiple studies. It's very inexpensive, and you may end up smelling very fragrant, but that's one of the things we use in my clinic if that heart screening test is abnormal, because the science says it works. And of course, prescription drugs if needed.
If there's too much calcium floating around and embedding into the lining of the arteries that you find from this scan, should people stop taking calcium supplements?
Controversial topic.
That's why we always love you having it.
We're pretty sure that calcium in the diet, which is often nuts and seeds and leafy green vegetables and things like even prunes and dates, all good. No problem. Eat them. Question is, all those beautiful jars of calcium supplements at the big box stores. And some studies suggest high doses are a problem. Others suggest high doses are less of a problem. I like to keep it under 1,000 milligrams a day for my patients if they're taking a bone-building vitamin. A little bit is okay, maybe a lot, avoid.
Avoid, yeah. You brought the lipoprotein little A, which we did a whole show on. I urge listeners to go back and listen to that whole podcast. But share is LDL, HDL cholesterol, that's the big do-all, tell-all, but not anymore. Is that kind of dinosaur medicine?
They're certainly important. And you will, you know, this is the challenge of having a social media savvy public. They come in with their Google searches and they'll say, well, Dr. A and Dr. B says cholesterol doesn't even matter and eat your steak and have butter on it. And that's, you know, the noisy 1%, largely on the internet. Some of them are real doctors. Some of them are not real doctors. Some of them don't have a medical license. And you got to be very careful what you get your information. 99% of cardiologists will tell you a high blood level of cholesterol, and particularly LDL cholesterol, could put you at risk. So go get that inexpensive heart scan and find out how you're doing. And maybe repeat that heart scan every 5 years to keep track of your heart, just like you do with a mammogram and a colonoscopy. So LDL is the reason the drugs called statins were developed. They're very effective. Not everybody can tolerate them, but most people can. My own recommendation is if you're taking a Lipitor or a Crestor statin, take a relatively inexpensive vitamin called CoQ10 with it. It protects your muscles and your body a little bit from being on a statin. That's a good body of science. The really curious one, though, is the other one you mentioned, HDL. We used to say with so much enthusiasm, H is happy and H is high, and you've got a great HDL cholesterol, Bob or Mary, and it's happy, happy news. Well, it turns out the last decade has caused us to rethink that. And some people walk around with an HDL cholesterol of 90 or 110 or 120, which are very high numbers. Most people are about 50. And it turns out that may not be so good for you. So we've kind of put HDL cholesterol on the back burner. We don't have any drugs for it that work. We don't want to lower it. We don't know how to raise it. We just basically ignore it right now and say, let's focus on what we know matters. Check your blood pressure. Everybody needs a home blood pressure cuff. That's the best Christmas present on the planet. A good arm home blood pressure cuff. And you don't have to wait till December to get that. Work on your blood sugar, your waistline, your blood cholesterol, and your blood pressure. And, you know, you'll be doing a lot of good, even if HDL is sort of a gray zone right now.
Right. Yeah. Talk to us about the blood pressure. I know years ago, 140 over 90 was considered nothing to worry about. Then 120 over 80 became the desired threshold. What's the ideal blood pressure level and when should we be concerned?
So more people die of high blood pressure than any other single diagnosis in the world and in the United States and recently established in Australia, all over the world. Because years of high blood pressure can cause stroke and heart attack and aneurysms and aging of the brain and dementia. And we're one step away from knowing we got a problem. Home blood pressure cuff, sitting in the living room on the coffee table, put it on your arm and check your blood pressure three times in a row, a minute apart, nice and relaxed. Pet your dog or pet your cat while you're doing it to be relaxed. So I went to a lecture by the great Mehmet Oz a couple months ago, and it was actually a very good lecture. And he had a huge slide, 110 over 75. And he wanted to make the point that's actually ideal blood pressure, not 140 over 80, as you mentioned. And it's a challenge because, you know, we're not sleeping well, we're gaining weight, we're eating poorly, too much salt in the diet, too much processed food. You know, if you're regularly checking your blood pressure and it's much above that, lifestyle first, always lifestyle first. Sleep better, treat the sleep apnea, lose the weight, get your belly thinner, eat your fruits and vegetables. Hibiscus tea lowers blood pressure. Ground flaxseed lowers blood pressure. Walnuts lower blood pressure, things like that. But work with your medical team and get that number down because blood pressure is a killer. And, you know, check it in a 20-year-old and check it in a 25-year-old too because many of them are dealing with salt and weight and stress and poor sleep.
I'm glad you said to take it a few times. I had a patient come in. It was actually yesterday, frantic because her blood pressure was 175 over 98. I took the blood pressure, was 110 over 80. She thought she was going to die. I said, no, you can't just judge one, correct? You've got, who knows what happened? Stress, something she just saw in the news. You know, she could have a couple, right? Shouldn't you take it again?
Yeah. Blood pressure is very reactive and goes up and down. My patients all chart out now. Blood pressure 150 over 90. 1 minute later, 135 over 78. And 1 minute later, 122 over 70. It's a really, you know, it's our nervous system. It's our adrenaline. And you want to give yourself a chance to have a good real number.
Yeah. Let me ask you, technology, you know, it's highly advanced over the years. And there's now so many devices, watches, gadgets, even mattresses, Doc, our bed that can supposedly monitor our heart and tell us, even if we're going into AFib, talk to us about their accuracy and if there's any that you recommend.
Yeah. You know, there's a common cardiac condition called atrial fibrillation or AFib in a regular rapid heartbeat that either people can feel as a pounding or some people are without symptoms and they just show up for a colonoscopy and the nurse says, you got a problem with your heart. That's how a lot of people find out about it. So it turns out, and I don't have any stock or interest, but the Apple Watch particularly worn on the wrist can alert a person if they're in atrial fibrillation or not, even if they don't feel it. So that actually is becoming a pretty standard tool in the cardiology office. And sometimes it's really helpful because if they wear their Apple Watch and it shows no problem, we can actually withdraw some of the medication because they're self-monitoring and being responsible. The other things out there, the rings and the bands and the beds, there are four of what we call the biohacker. Usually you know if you slept well or not. The one technology that's not built into the bed and the watch and the band is a home sleep apnea test. And with the increasing waistline of Americans, There's much, much more sleep apnea in the public. Some, it's obvious. The partner says, you snore like a train, you stop breathing all night long, I thought you were dead. That person needs to go get a sleep study and talk to a sleep doctor, which are very simple nowadays. But if you just take people with high blood pressure, people with diabetes, people with heart disease, people with atrial fibrillation, half of them have sleep apnea they don't know about. And all it is wearing some fancy watch in your bed at night and turning it back into your doctor's office. So those other devices don't measure sleep apnea. And so don't miss the opportunity to improve your health, particularly your brain health, your memory, by finding out if you got sleep apnea, if you got any clues at all.
Yeah, you mentioned waistline. I was reading an interesting study about yo-yo dieting that it can actually lead to heart issues. And because 95% lose weight, they gain it back. And I have research suggesting significant health risk associated with weight cycling, such as increased heart attacks, strokes, mortality. Could you share your insights on these yo-yo dieting fads when it comes to cardiovascular health? Is it healthy to lose, gain, lose, gain, lose, gain?
I find the yo-yo diet tough because those damn things are so hard to chew, and let alone swallow. But I know what you're talking about. And no, it looks, you know, if you had the choice, I'm 20 pounds overweight and I just hold on to it, or I lost 30 and I gained back 35 and I lost 10 and I gained back 12. And it's more adverse to go up and down and up and down in yo-yo. And we know now with these very popular Hollywood injectable drugs, Wegovy, Ozempic, Mounjaro, Zepbound, all these great names, that people are losing, they're going off, they're regaining. So we've got a new mechanism to help people bounce up and down. So you want to go for stable, predictable ways. Not that there isn't a role for some of those medications. There is a role. But you've got to teach a patient gym time. You got to teach a patient about portion size. You got to teach a patient something called calorie density, that ice cream, butter, and cheese have very little nutrition and lots of calories, and arugula, carrots, and celery have lots of nutrition with very few calories. That's something that Dr. Joel Furman, my friend, has taught a lot, calorie density. So you got to give people skills so when they lose the weight, they can sustain it off. It's still a goal to lose weight, but you're right. Yo-yo is a no-no.
I like that. Hey, that sounds like a good name for your next book. I like it. Yo-yo is a no-no. Maybe you'd have Stallone, you know, to cover. Yo, yo, yo. Hey, let me ask you this. Let's talk about the common things we know, like chest pain, shortness of breath, left arm pain, commonly recognized as symptoms of heart attack. But could you shed some light on maybe some of the lesser known indicators that someone may be experiencing that should be concerned that they don't have that red flag?
Right. And again, don't wait till your chest feels like an elephant is sitting on it, the classic angina. Get a heart CT scan 10 years earlier and know that you've got a problem and wrap your life around addressing it. But there are some really interesting ones. Big one everybody should listen to. A man developing erectile dysfunction has a much higher risk of having clogged heart arteries and maybe 3 or 4 years away from a heart attack. That's 25 years worth of research. It says, don't just ask for Viagra. Ask for a heart test. Ask for blood work. Ask for a blood pressure cuff. Evaluate your heart status for erectile dysfunction. That often is bad blood flow below the belly button. You should ask the question, how's my blood flow above the belly button? Number two, this is a really interesting one, goes back 50 years. Most people are not born with a crease in their earlobe. It's called a diagonal earlobe crease, DELC. If you want to go look at a picture of Steven Spielberg online, you'll see a deep earlobe crease. And a doctor in New York City 50 years ago said, it's odd, when I have a patient with heart disease, I see this crease in the earlobe. When I have a patient with some other condition there in my office where they don't. And he did a research study, and now many have done a research study that says it's moderately accurate that if you got this deep crease in your earlobe, discuss it with your doctor. Now, they may or may not know about it, and it's about 70% accurate. Funky little thing. There's actually some data that premature going gray can be associated with heart disease. Premature going bald on the top of your head, the crown, can be associated with early heart disease. Actually, an enlarged prostate in a man has recently been associated with silent early heart disease. So those are some of the things you can, you know, think about. But the bottom line is, if everybody at age 45 got the $99 heart CT scan, we wouldn't have to deal with these other things. We'd actually have the data.
Yeah, so true. Good info. That's great. Let me ask you about wine. Since you were last on the show, it's gotten a bad rap as being toxic to the body, even in moderation. But of course, it was once endorsed by the American Heart Association as being heart healthy. What's your take on the vino?
If we stick to heart healthy, the bulk of the data still is a glass of dry red wine in a Mediterranean diet style, around a family table of people interacting, communicating, and eating healthy food, does seem to lower heart risk. But we've got cancer, we've got brain disease, and we've got people with alcohol addictions we have to be very sensitive to. So I think there certainly is a pressure to, you know, not every day of the week and not all the time, and definitely not more than 1 to 2 glasses for a man and 1 glass for a woman. More and more, you know, you walk in a liquor store now, they have a whole wall of mocktails because many people are making the very good lifestyle decision to just get it out of their life. Such an addictive potential, you know, and it's something I talk about with all my patients, that that's their Valium, that's their Prozac, is the third glass of wine or the third martini. So warning, warning, danger, danger, Dr. Smith. But I don't think we're ready to say we should need to go back to prohibition times.
Right. That makes sense. Interesting you say that, because you're looking at the whole person versus the heart. I had a patient says, you know, my hip's killing me and I keep walking and it's hurting and hurting. I said, stop walking. You're walking on the hip. Well, my cardiologist says I need to walk for my heart. I go, well, that's your heart. I'm your hip doctor. Stop
there
walking.
Good point. Maybe a bicycle is the compromise.
Bingo. Know? That's what I said. Bicycle, swimming, maybe elliptical. Stop that pounding of the concrete walking around your neighborhood. So it's interesting. What about your views on coffee? Once considered bad for us, we're now told it's healthy, but it can affect blood pressure. It increases heart rate. It makes me think it can't be great for the heart, but is morning Java good or bad?
Yeah, Java good, Java good. You know, of course.
Java's okay.
If you don't feel good on coffee, if it makes you jittery, and don't drink it after about noon, it'll probably impact your sleep. But, you know, 1 or 2 cups in the morning, there's good data for anti-aging. There's actually data for this thing called autophagy with a black cup of coffee. It's one of the ways to stimulate a anti-aging response in the body. May help with weight control, appetite. It certainly seems good for the brain. And we've had a complete flip that, boy, you know, Mr. Smith, you get heart pounding stuff, all caffeine. Now, many studies say there's no relationship between caffeine and fibrillation and other palpitations. So know thyself, and if it's not working for you, don't do it. Now, more worrisome is 3 packs of sugar and half in your coffee. That is not going to be good for you, or certainly the Frappuccino approach with the whipped cream. Learn to like it black.
There you go.
Maybe a couple drops of stevia. If you really want to, you can get dried cocoa powder, organic cocoa powder. The data that cocoa powder is good for the brain is overwhelming, and for the arteries. And, you know, it then makes your coffee have this little mini chocolatey flavor. So you can make your coffee super healthy.
Yeah, except don't drink coffee late in the afternoon, because then you have a hard time sleeping. And as you mentioned, lack of sleep, we talked about this last time, is a major instigator for heart disease, correct? Sleeping, we're not getting enough of it.
Yeah, sleep was never mentioned in medical school when I was in medical school in the 1800s. It feels like it was that long ago. Now, as I say, in my clinic, the first thing we talk about in my office is sleep. And the first thing we do if there's problems, we do these inexpensive home sleep studies, and we find out if there's pathology there. Because if you get somebody sleeping good, now they're going to go to the gym. Now they're making better food choices. Now they just feel better during the day and they're motivated. And then all the other good stuff, you know, I'm eating better and my outlook's better. It all follows. If they're sleeping poorly, we got to work with that.
Yeah, I always say you can't have a good day if you don't have a good night. It's so true. And like you said, we're just not taught the value of that. And now with all this input, when we went to college, there was no watching YouTube right in our face at 2 in the morning and the social media and TikTok and Twitter and X, what it's called now. But, you know, we got all this bombardment of information and EMGs. And I think that's a big part of keeping everybody up. You agree?
I agree. I got a crazy medical friend in Detroit who has this cage around her bed called a Faraday cage, blocks every last bit of EMF radiation coming in the house. And she told me last week, I am sleeping like a baby all of a sudden. Now, this is really an extreme approach to it. But if you can, I mean, I spent years where I needed the phone on my nightstand to take emergency room call. But if you can put the phone across the room, turn that laptop off, get the Wi-Fi EMF reduced, it may help your sleep. And let alone you're going to reach over to your phone and read the news. And, you know, with all that's going on in the world, you're probably not going to fall back to sleep for an hour.
So true. Hey, I'm curious, if you had to pick public enemy number one, like when it comes to diet, what one food as a cardiologist makes you cringe when you see somebody eating?
French fries.
French fries, number one.
French fries. You take this perfect food called a white potato, and, you know, you add as much salt as you can, and you add the worst quality oil in the world, and you fry it. You get all these things called acrylamides that probably cause cancer, brain disease, and heart disease. And the thing is, of course, people don't go to McDonald's for the burger. They're going for the fries, but they're getting the cheeseburger with it and the malt. So it all starts with the French fries. Just ban them.
So some people think potato, and you know what? I got ketchup. There's my tomatoes. So they got two plant-based foods, and that's not the way to think of it.
They're basically vegan, like Adele Davis. They're like Adele Davis.
That's it. Hey, what about the opposite question? What's the most heart-healthy food when you see people eating? Go, that guy probably has a strong heart.
Pomegranate. There's really an exotic one. If you're eating pomegranates, you're knowledgeable. You know it's deep red, and it's rich in antioxidants. It's been shown in Israel to reduce plaque in your arteries. I mean, you know, you don't have to rush out, but boy, you put a few pomegranate kernels on a salad, you've got something delicious. The Persian food has a lot of pomegranates on it, God bless them. But any plant-based food that comes from the garden or the outside of the grocery store is going to impress me.
That's awesome. I'm going to ask you this. I had a recent experience I wanted to get your feedback on. A patient presented with migraines, and he mentioned he's suffering from severe chest pain, and he had extensive cardiovascular testing. No findings. I palpated the area, doc. He was experiencing tense pain. I said, is that? He goes, that's it. Easy diagnosis for me. Costochondritis, and inflammation of the rib cartilage. This condition was overlooked because his doctor was so focused on ruling out a heart attack. So my question to you is, in the era of telehealth, where physical exams, putting their hands on their patients is less frequent, I'm interested in your perspective on balancing technology without losing that hands-on patient care in modern medicine.
Yeah, and it is a limitation. I am a telemedicine and a live practice. People do both when they see me. You know, if it's telemedicine, they have to have a home blood pressure cuff. But, you know, I can't examine them. I could ask them, feel their chest. There's no substitute for face-to-face evaluation. Costochondritis, it could be an overuse thing. I like to lift a few weights in my basement. You know, you overdo it, you can feel it. But we don't really know exactly why it happens. But yeah, it's a great mimicker of heart disease. I'm glad this person had the cardiac workup, but I'm sure you're going to help them lower their inflammation in that cartilage.
Two visits, feeling better. He goes, why didn't they touch my eye? I don't know. It's like, I just think we're losing that hands-on approach. But you, like you said, it's the future. I'm just glad, you know, with me, I do a physical exam. I think that really, when I could put my hand on it, you know, I can tell a lot more than a patient, which is amazing. Hey, you talked in the beginning how cancer is like the number two killer, heart disease number one, but we put so much emphasis on cancer screenings and treatments and even summits. And how come? Why is that? Is it because there's more drugs to be made in the cancer industry and that's why it takes the forefront?
I think, you know, when people are more aware and fearful of their cancer risk and their heart risk, even though we can say it every day, 100 times a day, more people die of heart disease and hypertension than die of cancer. And we should put at least as much emphasis on doing the proper screening tests for cancer and the proper lifestyle for cancer and prevention. Anything you do, like eating more fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, beans for your heart, are also going to lower your cancer risk and improve your brain health. They all work together, this wonderful network in your body. That's for sure. And you are right. I mean, the most expensive heart drug I'm aware of might be a $15,000 a year heart drug. I mean, that's like a month's worth for chemotherapy. There is, sad to say, more money in heart disease and much, much more in cancer treatment. That's a conspiracy theory, but there may be some truth to it. We try and work on lifestyle measures for reducing cancer risk while we're also working on lifestyle measures to reduce heart disease risk. And if you got a lot of money now, you can go for an MRI scan of your whole body to screen for cancer. And there's blood tests now called cancer screening blood work. So we're making progress, but it's still pretty much a cash-based business that excludes a lot of people.
So those listening, they have advanced heart disease, believing there's no hope. Your experiences, it can be reversed. There is hope for these folks.
It is absolutely possible to reverse heart disease. We've known that from Mr. Pritikin of the Pritikin Longevity Center and the famous Dr. Dean Ornish in California, but we have the technology now to prove it. In every patient we have, it's reversible. We may not drop that high calcium score, but we can get the rest of the junk out of the arteries and keep people healthy. So that's why it's so important from the youngest age possible. Stay fit, stay lean, eat well, get sleep, manage stress, don't smoke, and then never get heart disease. That's one way to reverse it, is never get it.
And then the weight has a big factor. Do you see, give me a percentage. Would you say 80% of people that are overweight are more heart disease? Is it 50-50 if somebody comes in and they're fairly good weight?
Unfortunately, that waistline growing and growing leads to blood pressure, leads to inflammation, raises your risk of getting prediabetes or diabetes, cholesterol disorders, triglyceride disorders. So it's very high. If you start doing those heart calcium CT scans on people that are overweight, and it's a very accurate test in people that are overweight, a very simple test, you will find more than 50% of people are walking around with unknown heart disease.
Is that a high radiation test? Is there a lot of radiation in that or no?
It's actually very low, equivalent to like what a woman experiences in a mammogram.
Okay. So it's not something that's invasive. That's all great to know. So that's something that I've been hearing more and more about recently, but only recently. And that's something that wasn't very well known years ago. So I'm glad you're bringing that up. I'm sure a lot of listeners took notes because it's something that's, it's like you said, it's there, it's easy, and it's 100% accurate. As you said, that's the tell-all, correct?
Right.
Fantastic. Well, time flies by. Always when you come in here, and we got about 2 minutes left, anything you want to cover that we didn't showcase today? Anything you want to talk about?
No, I think we hit all the high points. We hit pomegranates. We hit french fries. I think we did it.
I was hoping you hit pomegranates and french fries. I'm like, fingers crossed. I hope he gets those. You definitely, you showed up exactly how I expected.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining. Yeah, always great having you on the show, and your heart-to-heart insights are something I'm sure a lot of listeners really got some aha moments. Now, that's aha, not abbreviation for American Heart Association. That's the other
You
aha.
Got it. Thank you.
Learn more about Dr. Kahn. Go to drjoelkahn.com and be sure to get copies of his books. I have them all. Let me tell you, they are well-written, superbly researched, and they're going to bring a lot of good insights for you and your health. Also, be sure and check out his articles, videos, and recipes. Got a lot of good recipes that are delicious, heart healthy, and sign up for his weekly updates. And you can follow Dr. Kahn on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, now called X. I still call it Twitter. It's going to be a while, but it's at Dr. J. Kahn. I enjoy his informative post, and you should follow him too. Very good info, down to earth, and he tells it like it is. That's why I love him on the show. For my daily health post, I'm on X and Facebook at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. If you heard Dr. Kahn share something today that somebody you know needs to hear, send them a link to this podcast. It's available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com and radiomd.com, and peruse our podcast library. And I always say, share these segments with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. It's too important to keep to yourself. Sharing is caring. You can also subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.